Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 1:20 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is November 9th. Well, the market jumped higher straight off the open in here today on the back of Pfizer's news that they have got strong data to support the efficacy of their vaccine that they're developing for the coronavirus. And at one point, the Dow Jones was up 1,300 points, and it has pared that advance significantly. It's only up 2.95% at the close. Europe bounced much more impressively, and the majority of indices were up in excess of 4%, but both Spain and France were up substantially more than that. And, of course, part of the reason for that is simple, that they had been so much more emburdened by their lockdowns than other markets, that they were naturally going to rebound further on news that a vaccine might in fact be realizable in the short term. There isn't much consideration being paid to the fact at the moment that Pfizer's solution has to be refrigerated at incredibly low temperatures throughout its movement from wherever it's manufactured until it gets into somebody's arm. And obviously that is going to represent challenges. It's a two-dose vaccine as well, so people will need to be dosed twice. And then, of course, it's most likely to be beneficial to people in developed markets over emerging markets. But that's probably less of a concern, because people in emerging markets tend to be less affected by the coronavirus in the first place, because they are generally younger. But the big question isn't so much about the potential for recovery. Recovery has been on the cards for a while. One of the things that we've definitely seen is, along with European shares, banks also rebounded really quite emphatically in here today. It was also a strong day right across emerging markets. The CSI 300 in China jumped up to new recovery highs. It hasn't traded anywhere close to this level since back in 2015. Japan has also extended the breakout on the Nikkei, and it was up and pulling away now from the 2,400 point level. The dollar did rally on the back of this news, so the yen has now pushed back through the 104 level again. We have again evidence of the Bank of Japan and clearly some deference around the 104 level. This has been going on now for really quite some time. Every time they are willing to devalue the currency, it helps the Nikkei. And if we get follow through on the upside tomorrow for the dollar, it would break the downtrend over the course of this year. So we're at a rather interesting level for Japanese markets overall. When we then think about the Hong Kong market, it was also pushing on two new recovery highs. Hasn't been this high in the last 3 months. It's in the process, potentially, of breaking a three-year sequence of lower rally highs. When we then think about currencies, well, China must be starting to think about what they can do about the persistent strength of the renminbi. And it was in negative territory today, and in a reasonably dynamic manner. We've had quite a bit of volatility over the last four sessions, so there is certainly the potential that it could unwind its short-term overbought condition. But then the big question is, will it do enough to break the downtrend in the dollar? One thing that is obviously starting to weigh on investor sentiment as we came towards the close was, what's going to happen with all the debt? The USA is still projecting they're going to have upwards of $5 trillion deficit in 2021. Now, maybe it won't be that much. Maybe it might only be $4.5 trillion, but we're still talking about trillions. And the yield curve spread is now at 75 basis points. It has broken up and out of this range that's been forming since March, and doing so in a reasonably dynamic manner. It had pulled back from that level last week, and now we're back above it again. So investors are looking at the 10-year and thinking, well, perhaps we may see interest rates rise sooner than the Federal Reserve had been thinking. perhaps inflation may in fact start to come back if we really are talking about the potential for a vaccine to be made available in the first quarter to a wide proportion of the most at-risk people, then any argument for social distancing and lockdowns and closing businesses and schools and keeping people out of offices becomes a lot less convincing. And considering the massive surge we've had in the supply of money against a background of the velocity of money, which had cratered, it's reasonable to anticipate that the velocity of money would pop back up again. And it's at that point we do start to see inflation coming back into the system because there is so much money sloshing around right now. Of course, the point is that it's not sloshing, it just happens to be sitting there. But when we see velocity of money starting to move again, then we do have the scope for inflation to pick up, which is obviously why people are willing to test the 1% level on the 10-year treasury. But then we have the additional questions here. When we think about the Nasdaq, for example, it has now posted a downside key reversal from the upper side of this range. That at least marks resistance of near-term significance. And there is the potential that it's going to come back down and at least unwind the overbought condition relative to the trend mean. The Nasdaq has been the clear outperformer of large cap indices over the balance of the year because it has been the primary location for the stay-at-home champions. Well, if a vaccine is looking increasingly likely and this extraordinary period of front-loading of sales for everything to enhance the stay-at-home experience, everything from the cloud computing to home delivery to, in fact, home businesses, then it's reasonable to anticipate that the cloud computing sector, for example, will endure at least a pause in consolidation. In fact, with today's downside key reversal, that is a lower high. So we certainly have scope for it to pull back towards the $75 level and potentially through the 200-day moving average. Then, of course, there are the extremely high growth companies that had done spectacularly well as a result of the lockdowns. When we put Shopify out on a weekly chart, it looks like a top formation and potentially on the verge of completion. It could not have got better for Shopify all the way through the period from March until about September. But the bigger question was, how on earth could it possibly grow any faster? And the answer, of course, is that it can't. And with an estimated PE of 250, then obviously there is the potential that some of the most bullish expectations may start to be unwound. Then, when we think about, for example, an online marketplace like Etsy, it pulled back really rather aggressively in here today, but more importantly, it's broken the sequence of lower rally highs. It will need to rebound and do so in an emphatic fashion over the balance of this week in order to signal that the demand-dominated environment is still intact. But then, when we think about some of the other companies that have been wholly dependent on the stay-at-home environment, well, Zoom Media is obviously one of those. And considering the subpar experience the vast majority of people have when they use the format, well, there is the clear potential that the company will literally disappear when people stop having to work from home. So that's a good reason for why the share is down almost a third in the last month. When we think about the kinds of companies that will do well, Boeing today rebounded rather emphatically. It's now back in the region of the 200-day moving average. When we think about the cruise lines, they've been offering some really rather extraordinary deals for sailings next year. I've seen buy one, get one free offers. I've seen buy one, get one free, and then also just a whole slew of free stuff if one were willing to commit to a week-long cruise. And still, they were having difficulty getting people to take those. Well, perhaps they'll be more willing to take them today than they were on Friday. And that's part of the reason why we've seen a really quite considerable rebound in the sector. And they've unwound now approximately half of the decline, although the share, for example, is now up 3 times, or 300%, 4 times, since the low in March. If, for example, we're going to see more commerce and more people driving and more toll roads, well then the owners of those pieces of infrastructure and the companies that lease out that kind of infrastructure are going to do rather well. Then when we think about the restaurant sector and the hotels sector, well, the providers of linens and consumables to that sector should also be doing well. We saw that Cisco has unwound the majority of the decline from the peak in January. Now the question is it a little overbought in the short term? And we don't have actual access to the vaccine just yet. Well, then against all of that, gold pulled back rather sharply. So less demand for a safe haven. It's a clear downside Q reversal. It had pushed on to a new recovery high and then got walloped in here today. But I'm rather skeptical as to whether we're going to see a significant contraction or additional contraction from here. The big question about debt isn't just going to go away. There is obviously going to have to be some form of realization from investors that all of this excessive debt is probably going to have an impact on growth. And there is the potential that with higher yields, that may chasten governments and their willingness to engage in continued support for the economy in the hope that people might be encouraged to get back to work, or that there will be less need for it because people can go back to work. So there is obviously a little bit of uncertainty with regard to gold right now. But when we think about the fact that there are millions of people that are still unemployed, then any kind of recovery in the economy is going to have an inflationary outcome, and that is quite likely to be beneficial to gold because central banks are in no way prepared to raise interest rates. There is obviously then the issue of higher yields on government debt. Eventually, it's going to have a significant effect on the cost of servicing that debt. And it pretty much means that central banks are going to have to arrest the decline in prices and the rise in yields. And when that happens, it's likely to be a catalytic event for gold. When we look at the other precious metals, then silver was also down in a dynamic manner, but it paired the decline somewhat. And I think there's potential here that this range is going to hold. Then, when we look at the industrial resources, well, they were in somewhat better territory. Palladium is holding the breakout from last week. The copper price has also been reasonably steady in here, although it was finishing the day in negative territory. And then the oil price, which had started to rebound last week, was up in a reasonably dynamic manner, although as well it couldn't quite hold all of the advance. So we certainly had a knee-jerk reaction in here today that there's a lot of enthusiasm about the potential for a vaccine, but a lot of that was already in the price. It's not like anyone really didn't believe that there wasn't going to be a vaccine, but rather the big question still remains about the willingness of the Federal Reserve in particular to start buying bonds now, because the yield around 1% is introducing a sense of urgency into this argument. And that is why I'm not especially worried about the move that we've had in the gold price. Then when we think about the oil price, well, it is on the cusp of breaking that downward bias since the beginning of September. We're starting to see that investors are beginning to pay attention again to the energy sector. Royal Dutch Shell, for example, was up in a dynamic manner in here today. When we think about, certainly BP is, the ticker for BP is BP. When we look at BP, it has been substantially below the low from back in March and then also rebounded in an emphatic fashion in here today. The industrial sector generally did well. Royal Dutch Shell was higher, but Rolls-Royce wasn't quite able to hold all of its intraday advance. It's back again around the 100p level. General Electric also had popped on the upside right off the open, and it wasn't quite able to hold on to all of the advance, but it is now back above the trend mean. The Chemours company has also wasn't quite able to hold all of the advance, but it has been back above the trend mean for really quite some time already. There's the potential here that we're seeing some rotation out of the stay-at-home sector into the recovery sectors, and there is still the clear potential that there's going to be additional monetary and fiscal stimulus. It may not quite be as large as people had been hoping and expecting, but it is still quite likely, because without it and without active measures to control yields, well then, governments are going to be in the world of trouble. So they just don't have a lot of choice. I think that it is quite likely that the news of the vaccine is an unquestionable positive for the market, but it raises more questions than it answers. The bigger question is about liquidity, and the introduction of additional stimulative action by the Fed would be the clear catalyst for not just breakouts and for rotation, but for the moves to be sustained. I think we're not quite yet at the end of the election volatility either. And volatility has come back in a really quite dynamic fashion over the course of this week. But are we quite there yet in terms of getting out of the coronavirus crisis and the ensuing debt crisis? And is there a rationale for seeing the VIX come back below 20 again? I think maybe not quite yet. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.